T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Monday afternoon. Todd with you. First hour, we were listening to some sound bites I had from Av Harris. Av Harris, the former spokesman for the state DPH, Department of Public Health, in the Lamont administration, served the first 2 years and then was fired in January. So was in the Department of Public Health during the COVID response. And one of the things we were considering was who is actually an honest broker and who's an insider, and how these insiders operate, and how people like the governor, according to Av, don't like it when the truth is told and react with some kind of discomfort when they're hit with truths that might be a challenge to their political well-being. And I was thinking about Scott Gottlieb, the former commissioner of the FDA, who was just on with the governor and who has been advising the governor. He's been one of the insiders, it seems, on giving information. And you look at his bio, there's the FDA thing. He's a partner at a venture capital firm, a member of the board of directors of the drug maker Pfizer, a member of the board of directors of Illumina, and a contributor to the cable financial news network, CNBC. This guy is all over the place, get along with everybody, make no waves, nice guy, compromise, round out all the sharp edges. He's a politician more than anything else. People are different. They're not all experts. They're not all scientists. Well, 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 here we are at the most exciting moment of the day. It's when we unveil today's rants from the rant line. You ready? You pumped? You psyched? Here we go.
Yeah, at the press conferences, why does Ned Lamont keep calling the women's basketball team for UConn a women's team? I thought there weren't sexes anymore. I wish the wokesters would cancel Lamont so we can get our legislature back.
Well, yeah. That is a very tight, well-written. I assume that this ranter has a staff of writers to have come up with. Just look at how he progressed through each of the points that are highlighted in that rant and hold it all together to make a perfectly crystallized point at the end. Let's hear that again.
Yeah, at the press conferences, why does Ned Lamont keep calling the women's basketball team for UConn a women's team? I thought there weren't sexes anymore. I wish the wokesters would cancel Lamont so we can get our legislature back.
Oh, yeah. So simple and elegant that is. Well done, sir. Yeah, well, you can still call in your aunt. 860-751-4698. We also take live calls during this hour. We do. 860-522-9842.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah.
My name is Frank Sullivan.
Hello, Frank.
And I respect the government, except
why?
For Blumenthal and Murphy. who want to take away my rights.
Wait a second. Why do you respect any of it? Government. Oh, my. What do you respect? Call back and explain that right now. 860-522-9842. Does anyone else respect the government? Please call and explain that if you do.
Hey, Todd. My name's Frank Solvington. And I respect the government, except for Blumenthal and Murphy, who want to take away my rights to protect my family. In other words, somebody could walk to my house with an illegal gun and try to kill me and my family. I have a legal gun. I'm going to defend myself. I've had it done.
All right, so why do you respect government when two senior elected officials to federal office want to take away your constitutional right rather than protect it? Why would you respect government? Huh? I don't get that one bit.
Hey, Todd, I got to tell you this. A couple of days ago, I was watching some documentary, and this guy was giving a tour of a fallout shelter under the Brooklyn Bridge. All right, so they're touring the thing, and they're asking about what they expected. And so the guy who was giving the tour was saying, how long were you expected to stay in this fallout shelter after the atomic explosion? The guy says, oh, 7 to 10 days. And it got me thinking, 7 to 10 days after a nuclear attack, but we're still wearing masks a year and a half later after a virus. Just cracked me up. Thought.
Well, I'm not sure. It sounds to me like you're thinking about it the opposite way I did. So when I heard your rant, what's going through my head is, okay, the fallout shelter, they said you're going to be in there for 7 to 10 days, but a nuclear blast, you could be there in for 70 to 100 years. I mean, it reminded me of, we've just got to flatten the curve for a couple of weeks. Back to the guy who respects government. Respect government. Haven't you watched Jolly Ned and the Liars spend the last year peddling fables, nonsense, made up bunk as something that is science that should be respected, while Jolly Ned ignores science, doesn't even pay any attention, doesn't even have a conversation with the scientists he employs or we employ on his behalf? Respect government? Yes, 7 to 10 days in a fallout shelter. What exactly would dissipate him? Oh, man. But you know, if you think back to the World War II, post-World War II era, I guess, when we were nervous about nuclear bombs dropping, and you're an elected official, what are you going to tell people? Watch out with this tension with the Soviets. If they do set off a nuclear device, we're all goners. And the planet won't clean itself of the fallout for a million years or so. So make sure you get a lot of Campbell's soup.
Hey, Todd. My white privilege doesn't afford me Section 8 housing at about $135 a month. It doesn't afford me free internet. It doesn't afford me free cable. It doesn't afford me free health coverage. It doesn't afford me free bus rides. It doesn't afford me free haircuts. And the list goes on and on. That's what my white privilege affords me. Isn't it wonderful?
Well, white privilege is in the eye of the beholder, I think. So I want to go back. We'll get back to more rants in a sec, but I've just been provoked to go back to Michael Osterholm, the epidemiologist from the University of Minnesota. And he was on with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press this weekend. Listen to this, because he's painting a scary picture.
Is whatever pre-pandemic normal was never coming back?
I don't think so. I think we surely have that opportunity to come back. But in the meantime, please understand, this B.1.1.7 variant is a brand new ball game. In fact, right here in Minnesota, we're now seeing the other aspect of this B.1.1.7 variant that hasn't been talked much about, and that is the fact that it infects kids very readily. Unlike the previous strains of the virus, we didn't see children under eighth grade get infected often, or they were not frequently very ill. They didn't transmit to the rest of the community. That's why I was one of those people very strongly supporting reopening in-class learning. B117 turns that on its head. These kids now are really major challenges in terms of how they transmit. The fact that I could sit here and talk about 749 schools in Minnesota in the last 2 weeks now having B117 activity. So I, the
so
message
would,
is we have
right
to get
now,
through this.
You would close schools.
So this is what you have to wonder about. You just heard if you were bold enough, strong enough to march through nearly an hour of Jolly Ned's press conference. You didn't hear, you heard allusions to variants, but you didn't hear anybody saying be nervous about the future because there's this Brazilian variant that's been there for a while, but it hasn't really migrated. But now it's here, the B117, and it's ugly. It's now hitting kids, making them sick. What happens to our school policy? What happens to finally getting kids back to school? You see why it's so important to not run things the way Jolly Ned has. That when there was a chance to have kids in school, the kids should have been in school because we could actually be entering an era, a period in which they can't be.
So the message is we have to get through this.
You would close schools?
And this means we're going to have to reconsider what we're doing now and how we're doing that. But that's all to get us to this summer. I do believe, and I give the administration great credit for how it's bringing forward vaccine as quickly as possible. But at the same time, we're not going to have nearly enough in the next 6 to 8 weeks to get through this surge. And we're going to have to look at other avenues to do that, just as every other country in the world who's had a B117 surge has had to do. And that's what Dr. Walensky was talking about, in all honesty.
Wow.
So there are two different ways of looking at what's going on in the world of COVID right now. I just wanted to get that on the table because it's scary stuff. 860-522-9842 for live calls, rant line 751-4698.
Greetings, Todd.
Where has George been from Canton? Where have you been, George? I've been worried about you. Thank you for calling.
Greetings, Todd. George from Canton. You know, Todd, I am really getting tired of the double standard that we're living by. Someone shoots some Asian women, and it's a hate crime. A fellow in New Haven or Bridgeport yells at an Asian person with a mask and tells them to go home, and it's a hate crime. And there's crimes against old people in this state. If you're older than 65, it's assault on an older person. I'd like to know when someone is going to hold the governor of this state, called Titanicate, accountable for the old people that he killed in nursing homes that might have been Asian, Latino, homosexual, a senior citizen. They're all dead. And I don't know why that's not a hate crime. Hey, Todd, thanks so much for lending me rant. I know it doesn't make a big difference, but at least it's something.
Well, we don't know what difference it will make yet. The point is to get people's voices on the table. You see, when you talk about Jolly Ned, and by the way, I think it's a little too aggressive to say that he's guilty of murder because he's incompetent and malicious in his intent. But he's just doing life the way he's always done life. He's not trying to harm anyone. He's just trying to harm his own, advance his own interests. And that's what politics is all about. It's all about people trying to figure out a way to advance their own interests. And their own interests are about how to capture more power all the time. And we've gotten to this place. I don't think it was always this way, but we've gotten to a place in this country where it seems not to be possible to expect of someone that you're going to hire them to do a job like run a government, and they're going to actually do that with the idea of doing what's best for the people. What we have now is a bunch of power players who manipulate everything and craft every message in order to make sure you don't understand what's going on so that they can pull one over so they can get what they want to advance their careers. I don't see any great fights going on to advance good public policy. Do you? How did we get here? I don't think we were always this country. I don't think it was always this way. I think there used to be honor. I think there used to be integrity. I think there used to be a sense of mission. Not, of course, I'm not saying that there wasn't the opposite and everything in between, but there was imbued into our culture an expectation that we all had a shared ideal, that we all valued this national operation that we have, and that everybody wanted to do their best. So you wouldn't go into politics looking to just game everything. Although I know some people did. WTIC. All right. It's rant line time still. Rant line hour. And you know that as part of the rant line hour, we include our daily Jolly Ned Comedy Club contribution from Steve NBC Haddam. Steve is, I was going to say on vacation. He's only on vacation from the segment, from the comedy club segment. He's not doing it this week, but he left a list of old ones to replay, which I'm kind of looking forward to because I want to see what kind of variations we hear over the past several weeks. But this one's only going back 3 weeks, I think. March 16th, Jolly Ned's Comedy Club. Steve will be back next week.
Welcome to Jolly Ned's Comedy Club, home of the professional stand-up comedy show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next comedian comes all the way from the underserved community of Greenwich, Connecticut. Put your hands together for Ned Lamont.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, thank you for joining us. Over to you, Max.
The Hartford Current.
Hey, everybody. This is Emily Brindley from The Current. I would like to return to those equity targets.
We'll relax on that a little bit.
I think they're obviously having some technical difficulties in the press conference, so please stand by.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, we're back. Are you guys back?
We got you.
All right. You probably saw that funny skit on Saturday Night Live. Number of people were pretending to or learning how to smoke again so they could claim smoking as a comorbidity. Right, let me just say I'm getting the signal right now. Thanks, everybody.
I would assume that Jolly Ned's favorite part of being governor is those daily features produced by Steve in Jolly NBC Haddam. Good afternoon. It's WTIC. We've got more rants coming your way. But let's say hello to Bob Stefanowski. Welcome back, sir. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. How have you been?
I've been very good, Todd. How are you doing, okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great. What could be better? What could be better? It's springtime. It feels like COVID is easing off our backs a little bit. We're ready for some summer sun and fun.
There you go. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is I've been pretty vocal about Democrats' underservice of Connecticut cities. And you pick any one of the cities, Todd, Hartford, New Haven, Bridgeport, you look at any metric whatsoever, whether it's education, whether it's housing, whether it's the tax rates, the mill rates, the cities underperform pretty much everywhere else in Connecticut, and these are the exact constituencies that Democrats claim that they're out to protect. And the latest example of that is the vaccination rate of COVID. The cities are way lower than the other parts of the state. And in fact, one of the people who's been most critical of my editorials, the mayor of Hartford, had the lowest vaccination rate in the entire state. So I think it keeps supporting the theory, Todd, or actually the fact that Democrats really don't take care of people in the cities. And when they go to these cities, they show up once every couple of years when it's campaign time, and then they never see them again. They make a bunch of promises, and they never see them again. And one of the benefits of the mask initiative that we did, we handed out 1.7 million masks across the state, was we got to spend a lot of time in the cities, particularly Bridgeport, and to understand what the issues are. And I think, Todd, there's a lot that we as Republicans and fiscal conservatives can do to help our cities if we just spend the time there and we try to focus on it.
Well, the thing I was thinking about as you were outlining the situation is that I don't believe that any of the problems that are operating in the cities of Connecticut are caused by a lack of financing. There seems to be huge amounts of money that gets spent, and the problem is, what exactly are the priorities for that money? What systems are they being, are those dollars being put into, and what kind of inefficiencies are causing those dollars to not result in great outcomes? Is that fair, do you think?
Well, I think you hit on it earlier, Todd. If you go into the assumption that a politician is there to serve and to help people, you're missing the point in Connecticut, unfortunately, because our Democratic politicians are there for themselves. And it's an interesting case study, but, you know, they see they have a problem in the cities with vaccinations. So the latest report was that they're spending $24 million. The Democrats, or Governor Lamont, is hiring a 71-person, and he's even referring to it as a campaign team, to go into the cities and have a campaign around why people should get vaccinated. That may not be a bad thing to do, but why isn't the government doing them it's themselves? And why do they have to spend $24 million of our dollars to do the job that they should be doing? And by the way, why do they have to hire the political campaign team that ran Attorney General Tong's campaign and also ran Governor Lamont's campaign to do it? So one of the things we're finding in this pandemic, Todd, is the Democrats, they've got this sense of entitlement. They've got a sense that the rules don't apply to them. And they're using this pandemic when people are most vulnerable to enrich themselves, to position themselves better to be reelected, and to enrich all the special interests that are going to come around and support them at election time. And when you put it all together, Todd, I can't think of any word other than disgusting. What they're doing when they're taking advantage of people at our most vulnerable time to line their pockets and everybody around them with our taxpayer dollars. It's actually quite remarkable.
It is remarkable, and it suggests that the purpose of spending, whatever they may call the programs and whatever they may say the intent is, that the intent is really first about the lining of the pockets of their friends to hold together these coalitions and networks of support so that the campaign machinery is always finely tuned and ready to go. What you're describing is so blatant, it's so obvious, that you would think they'd be embarrassed.
You would think, and I think part of it is arrogance, Todd, and this is where I see our opportunity. You know, people get arrogant. They start to make mistakes. And again, you look at this campaign team they're hiring. First of all, they're calling it a campaign team. They've got an advertisement for a campaign manager. The responsibilities of that role are grassroots outreach, canvassing, door-to-door. You absolutely know that every person they contact with is going to be part of their database. And in politics, data is critical. So they're going to use, under the guise of getting vaccine information out there, they're going to develop a massive database of people that they will then go to a year from now and request their vote. And if they weren't so arrogant, Todd, the Democrats weren't so arrogant, at least they'd try to disguise it and call it something different. But to your point, Todd, they don't even try to disguise it. They call it a campaign. Well, yeah, maybe it's a campaign about vaccines, but it's also a political campaign to get Democrats reelected. Otherwise, they wouldn't call it that.
Well, I just want to drive home your point a little more about this campaign organization. They're actually using a firm that gets hired by the Democrats in the state to operate their campaigns to do this same kind of activity, like going door to door. And this company, this Grossman company, will be going door to door in the cities Democratic strongholds, and the people who I guess normally would be volunteers are going to be paid $23 an hour to go door to door, and it's not even campaign season. It's not even campaign year. So that means that all those people are getting extra pumped up and ready for the next campaign cycle at the same time that they're freshening up all their data by going door to door and creating those databases that they use during the campaign. I mean, there's got to be laws that forbid this kind of overlap. But then again, there don't really have to be because they don't make laws that make their own stuff hard to do.
Well, and no one questions them, Todd, other than people like you and used to be Pastor Will and George Colley over the last 3 weeks. You know, I think their viewpoint right now, as you can hear it with Oz Harris, is that's all right. You know, if somebody calls me on it, it'll be a story for the next 24 hours, and then everyone will move on. And again, back to the point I made earlier, I do see an opportunity in that because the level of arrogance, we don't have time to talk about it, but the semaphore where Governor Lamont has emergency authority, he gives a no-bid contract to a company his wife and family have an ownership in. Just the sense of entitlement, and they're getting bolder and bolder. And I think at some point, Todd, if they haven't already, well, they already have crossed the line, but I think they're going to continue to do that. And that's when people start to make mistakes. But the mindset, again, I'll use the word disgusting, the mindset that they're taking advantage of people of Connecticut at our most vulnerable time to, you know, to slap the back of people that run their campaigns and funnel money to them, it's just beyond belief that they're that bad to do it.
Bob Stefanowski, thank you, sir. Good to talk with you.
Okay, you have a good week, Todd.
Thank you. You too, sir. We'll talk to you next week. 860-522-9842. Rant line, 860-751-4698. Can we play some more rants, please? Do you mind? Here we go.
Yo, Todd, this is the candy wrapper. The Red Sox season is underway. I think Mark the Shark is very happy, as long as they don't continue to play crappy. Vegas says they won't win, and that's a sin. But it will all come down to the pitching. It's pretty lame what they did to the All-Star game. I'm making the call. I'm done with baseball. I really wanted to see the tribute to Hammer and Hank Aaron. But now the fans are swearing, and we wish we could get a new commish. Have a good day, Todd. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Candy. Good to hear from you. Oh, man. Red Sox. I don't know. I've just reached a stage in life where I can't. The only thing I can get excited about is football. And I won't even go there. But football is the main thing. And I'm kind of losing interest in that, too. What's wrong with me?
Hey, I just want to know why Kamala Harris always laughs about everything. But what you think about it, she bailed out the people that were rioters in Oregon and stuff. She bailed them out of jail. That's not somebody I want to promote justice and freedom in this country. That's the way I feel. I'm sorry. Bye.
Well, you're right. She is always laughing. When they talk about justice, though, they're not talking about justice the old-fashioned kind. They're talking about social justice. Meaning, how do they take stuff away from people who have stuff to give to their voters? It's injustice. They want state-organized injustice in order to make their voters happy. And that's what Bob was just talking about, this program they're doing, where they're putting in, I think the total, he was talking about the 24 million. For one part of this to hire the consulting firm. But there's other aspects of it. I think the whole price tag comes out to $58 million. $58 million just for the cities of Connecticut to hire the campaign team to do a COVID campaign to convince people to get a vaccine. Now, I don't think anyone needs to be convinced to get a vaccine. I think you leave the disease out there and you leave the vaccine out there. And people are getting the vaccine and people are getting the disease. And eventually, without any government-funded campaigns, you will find your way to everybody who could be convinced, getting convinced, to get the vaccine. It's just my theory.
All right, Todd. How you doing? Last week was a bad week. The dog bit somebody else at the White House. Biden keeps lying, saying that in Georgia, they're going to shut the polls at 5. He hasn't read the piece of paper yet, the law. And now, to end it, Buttigieg, transportation
judge.
Secretary, did the pony and dog show
Buttigieg.
By bringing his bicycle in the back of his SUV, unloaded it in front of the White House, right?
This is true. Did you hear this about Pete Buttigieg? He was going to an event on his bike. So he drove up to the event, parked around the corner, pulled the bike out of his SUV and rode into the event.
House, riding it up to the White House and leaving the White House, pretended that he bike commuted to work. It's just appearances, all a show. Nothing real for them. Nothing based in reality. It's all a dream, socialism, cronyism at his best.
Cronyism, yes. All of it.
Why are Murphy and Blumenthal so controlled on gun control? It's protection for your family. Families could have prevented, if they had firearms, a lot of disasters that happened in this country. If there was somebody, and you always blame it on firearms. It's not firearms. It's people. Take care of the people. Get rid of the people that could own firearms. I agree with that 100%. 99% of the people that own firearms do not commit crimes.
Yeah. Well, when they're making laws, gun laws, they're making laws to restrict the constitutionally protected legal behavior of law-abiding citizens in order to correct for what lawbreakers do. It's very weird.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.